Hey everybody, welcome back. This is the Justin and Heidi Unfiltered podcast. I'm Justin.
And I'm Heidi.
And that's Bear.
Sleeping on my lap.
It's actually been quiet.
It's because we took his toys away.
Yeah. None of his antics are on the recorded one because we deleted that recording.
Mm-hmm.
What a punk. I mean, he'll go hours and hours and hours just walking around and blah, blah, blah. And then we start recording and he's like, I'm going to go get my really loud toy. I'll be right back. Anyway, so thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. We are talking about mainly addiction, but also just things that we've gone through in our marriage and in our lives. And right now we're talking about the event that happened a few months ago. I lost my job. Hi, Ezzy, other dog. We had our big blow up, and the last thing we were talking about on our podcast was communication. So,
hopefully, the dogs aren't too loud.
I think there was a spike when you picked him up.
Maybe.
I'm just upset that they always just go to you. I'm over here, like, unless I have a bribe. Rude. So anyway, communication.
Yeah. Well, so like we kind of ended off with, I don't know where we ended off.
I think we were talking about level of communication before. Like we'd have moments where we were good.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. What I thought when you were saying that is now it's better. Like the good, better, best kind of thing.
Well, I think now I'm just more in tune and like, when I'm feeling off, I've just gotten better about not trusting you and just going with, something's off. We're going to talk about it now. But as before, I'd be like, no, nothing's off. I mean, I feel off, but
yeah,
he's telling me and he's showing me. And so it just must be, I must be wrong. My intuition must be off. Well, guess what, ladies? Your intuition's never off. So
no, don't ever
misjudge that.
But we got to that because of half-truths.
Mm-hmm.
I would answer your questions and I'd give you half-truths because it worked. It was the bare minimum. One of the main things that we talk about in our group therapy is a half-truth is a full lie.
Mm-hmm.
Or half-truth is a whole lie. So now when something's off and you confront me and we talk, I know the very best course of action is to talk.
Yeah. So, but we definitely wouldn't have gotten to that point had you not been in therapy.
Right.
Had you not done, and you'd done therapy before because this was not the first time in our marriage that we've gone through rock bottom.
Right. No, this is the second time. And there's just so much to say for it because there are a lot of therapeutic things that we can do as humans. But when I say therapy, I mean, I started seeing a licensed professional counselor, and I mean they're trained to do this, you know, and they
I think the funny thing we humans do is we think we're so unique, and we're unique people, but for everything you do there's another 1,000 people that do the same thing.
That is so funny. The cognitive distortion the thinking barrier that we talked about in, I don't remember if I told you this even.
You didn't.
For week 8 for this last group therapy, the thinking barrier is uniqueness. That's what we discussed. Yeah. And we started
because we all think we're unique.
We're going through all the things of when you're addicted and you struggle with this uniqueness, she's rattling off all the signs.
You're like, I'm like, that's me. How did you know that?
Yep. I do have that. Yep. That's me. That's
how'd you know that? But I'm unique. Nobody knows this but me.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a fine line. I mean, there's nothing wrong with saying you're special. You know, you can do great things. That can be very empowering. But it can't just be a blind piece of wisdom that's just taken for everything, because you're not unique in this way. I was not alone in my addiction. I was not the only person who'd ever gone through this. I was not the only one who felt like I could never return to a God and ask for his forgiveness. I can't be honest with my wife after what I've done. So stupid. Because then those bring with it so many other things that are, I mean, there's narcissism that comes with it because I'm unique. Don't you know who I am? Fortunately, that was not something I ran into very often. But the thing about being more honest, being your true self, is how much easier it is to see it in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another fine line because you don't want to be judgmental.
Right.
But what I'm learning is that when I'm picking up on those vibes and I'm thinking this person, like, really douchey vibes, instead of thinking, oh, well, he's addicted to pornography and he's going, no, my thought is, this isn't an individual that I want to interact with.
Right.
You know, that's the vibe I'm getting. And it's okay to leave it at that.
Right.
But then I turn it on myself and just remind myself, I gave those vibes to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Because I was doing very similar things.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another nice thing about this new job is that I can start fresh.
Right.
They're all new people, new relationships. I don't have to be someone I'm not, hoping that they'll like me. You know,
but that was the funny part. So we go through this rock bottom. You're sleeping in the other room, start counseling, start therapy. We're talking, we're communicating more. We're getting to a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say the last, because you were out of work for about 6 months,
4 months,
the one job, I don't really count.
August to the end of December. Well, end of July. So 5 months. You're right. So I was adding
almost 6 months.
Yeah.
So, but the last, I would say the last 3-4 months of that was like, you were living your best life.
Yeah.
But you were being honest. We were communicating.
Yeah.
You were being very productive. You had set goals. You were, I mean, still looking for a job. So it's not like you were doing, you were more productive in those time, that period, than I would say in our whole marriage, honestly.
Yeah.
And for me, it was one of those where I'm like, I just knew whatever it is you found, the next thing would be what is right for us and what needs to happen and where you need to go. But then when you got the job,
mm-hmm.
it was weird to watch.
Yeah. I want to go back before we start talking about that. I want to go back to the living your best life thing because there's so much there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were connecting on levels we've never been before.
Well, that was the other thing that I found interesting because I was still driving down to St. George for 2 of those months. And when I would call you on my drives to St. George, I'm driving to St. George. It's a 3.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful drive, but it's boring.
Yeah.
And for me to stay awake while I'm driving, I just listen to music and I have to listen to music that I want to sing to. I put on a full on show in my car, guys. You're just missing out. It's fine. But, for the past 2 years, if I ever called you on that drive, just talk, like, that's like the perfect time to talk. 'Cause no distractions.
Right.
If I called you before though, you couldn't get off the phone fast enough. You hated talking on the phone. And I always thought that was so interesting because I'm like, well, maybe. I mean, clearly you were busy because, I mean, I was the one not busy. So I did understand. But at the same time, like,
still,
why couldn't we talk?
Yeah.
But when you finally were starting to be honest with me and we were communicating more, we talked almost every drive I took.
Mm-hmm.
And almost the whole drive.
We did talk a lot.
Almost 2 hours at least. The whole time.
Well, it kind of got to the point where was kind of lovesick. You know, I was just thinking about you all the time. And not like just sexually type of thinking, just like you were just constantly on my mind. You know, my heart was in the right place. My mindset was better. And I just genuinely wanted to talk to you.
Yeah. But I'm telling you, that was like the first time in our marriage, 21 mm-hmm. years.
So I was going to therapy and I was still looking for a job, like you said, but I discovered writing. I have ADD. It was diagnosed years ago. It could have been ADHD. I only ever saw one doctor in 1999, so who knows? There are lots of things that go on in my brain, and one of them is just to have fantasies. I am in a dream world a lot, right? So some of these things that I started writing about are things that I've been, like, sometimes I'll daydream and I'll just pick up from a previous daydream. So I've built these some stories in my brain for years, right? But once I went through the detox of and the withdrawals from pornography, I keep saying this, and if you don't know what I mean, you should really look it up, but my brain was clean. It wasn't muddled. There is such a vast difference from even occasionally using pornography, but having the effects on your brain, to not having any of it at all. There's just a vast, huge difference. So I was able to sit and actually put my ideas down, and there's still a gap. I don't have training. I'm not educated. And fortunately, there's some AI software that really helps me build the rest of the story. So I found a way to put my creativity down and make something. And it made me so happy. And so, yeah, our marriage, communication, my creativity, everything was great, except I wasn't bringing in income.
Mm-hmm.
But I was finally at a place where I understood that was okay. We were still living, and it was all right.
Mm-hmm.
But because I was looking for a job still, eventually I was going to find one. And I did. So, mm-hmm. So now we're there.
Yeah. But that's where it was funny, because you applied for the job, you interviewed well for the job, mm-hmm. and then you got the job. And then you went back to square one. You turned off.
Yeah. So I didn't start using again, but I wasn't productive. I had just started playing video games.
It would have been a matter of time.
If we hadn't set up the lines of communication that we have, and if I had stopped going to counseling or this group therapy, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But because we have set a new standard for our communication, and you, neither of us to an extent, but mainly you, no longer allow
my intuition to be unchecked.
Yeah. When something's off, we're going to figure it out.
Yeah.
Like when you called me on your last trip and you said something is off. And I feel like it's since you got the job and this and that. And initially I had a lot of shame, because I was like, why did I lose motivation? Why? I mean, I got to a milestone and I'm not happy. Why am I not happy? And so much of it was just, oh, because then I was second guessing everything. I'm like, mm-hmm. Should I not have done this? You know, and like I was praying, like, Heavenly Father, should I have not taken this job? Was this a bad choice? And I realized that it's the attitude. And it's because there's a change in my life, and that's going to bring anxiety. But I still hadn't fully managed transitioning through anxiety. And in the past, when I was anxious, I would just use. And then that's how I'd get through it. But now I don't have that. So I was kind of spinning my wheels. There were a few things that I had learned, but I still wasn't in a right frame of mind to say, okay, well, now I need to look at some cognitive therapy and really think this through. And no, I was like, I'm just not happy. I'm going to go play video games. So it sucked, but it was short-lived, fortunately. And I changed my attitude. This is a great opportunity, this new job that I have. I'm going to be able to continue my career. I'm back to banking. But there was still something missing. And it was goals. I wasn't setting goals at work. And I wasn't continuing my writing.
Yeah, you had not continued with your goals at home.
Yeah. And you, again, pointed out almost to the, it sounded like you were saying, like, if you've got to just quit this job and go back to where we were, then so be it. So I thought about it and I realized that if I prioritize the right way, I can find joy in my job because there are a lot of things, a lot of skills that I have that I learned through banking and through the last 5 years working for a tremendous man, a great mentor, that I want to use in banking. Mm-hmm. And I can be amazing, but I've got to have a better attitude about it. More importantly, I've got to get back to writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brought me so much joy.
Mm-hmm.
So now I schedule it.
Right.
You know, and I set a goal. Stephen King writes 6 pages a day. That's his goal. Every day he writes 6 pages, and he says sometimes it takes him an entire day. Sometimes he finishes before lunch, and that's what he does. And he's incredibly successful. So I thought, I can do that. So I write 3 pages a day. I try to. And I'm happy.
Yeah. So we discovered that. But then when you started your job, it went backwards again.
Yeah. The brick wall. Because then it was real.
Mm-hmm. Because then you were at work. You were gone every day.
Yeah.
And I know that first week was rough because I was like, what are you even eating?
Yeah.
And you're like, I have a protein bar and a green drink?
Yeah, the Bloom from Costco. I mean, it's the only reason I'm alive is because I had the nutrients of that and supplements. But I was like starving myself because I also wanted to continue to lose weight and I kind of plateaued, but that was dumb.
Yeah, that's not how you lose weight.
So, yeah, I just started getting these feelings when I was at work and they were icky, you know? And the reality was that it was a new thing and it was scary and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's allowed.
Yeah.
But now, fast forward, I just finished my third week.
Yeah.
So I'm in training. Every day I'm finding new things and some are fun and some are not, but I'm not unhappy. And I work with some pretty cool people. So.
Yeah, but that's where. So just following my intuition and just making sure that we're communicating still is where we're at. We'll see how that continues. We'll keep you posted.
Yeah. Oh, and add to all of this other crap that we went through, we were also finally closing on another house.
Mm-hmm.
We had started this process. We wanted to buy a condo down in St. George.
Investment property.
Yeah. A rental property. A year ago?
Year and a half.
Yeah. It took for It was so long ago, people. This is so dumb. When we went to close on our home, there was like a $38,000 discrepancy in our paperwork where they were saying, no, you don't need to come in with this much money.
Yeah, you already paid this.
We're like, no, we didn't. We didn't remember. We put 10% down a year and a half ago. So stupid. So dumb. But anyway, took forever. We're finally done. And every time it got stressful, I remember when we started this thing, we got into a huge fight when we were starting to look into properties. Mm. And we went to the temple and we were praying. And I remember it was one of the most vivid answers I'd ever gotten to prayer. My answer was that I need to defer to your wisdom when it came to this. And I think it's just because my vision of buying another home for investment was just not
the same.
Not the same. So I have deferred to your wisdom. I followed that prompting and it's been good. But anyway,
we'll see.
We finally got to closing, and then of course we're closing on a home, so there's all new stresses. And it was it sucked.
Yeah. So was that on top of a new job, on top of now we've got to furnish this place and get it all ready, but you are starting work and have no time off.
Yeah.
And so that was a fun discussion too, when you're like, I'll have to go down there on Friday nights and do all that I can on Saturday. And I was like, no, you're not.
So dumb.
That's not helpful. No, pay attention to details. That's not your thing.
So dumb. Yeah. Just lots of things.
But I mean, coming back to the addiction, to the pornography. I mean, this is something that you struggled with your entire life.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, the first time I remember really talking about pornography and your addiction was 2009. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, when we first started really trying to get into what is going on in our marriage, because that was a bad time too.
Yeah.
For me, it was just the spending. It was all the money.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the next milestone back. Milestone. What did you call it?
Keystone.
Key points.
Points.
So then, yeah, the next key point back in our marriage was 2009. So yeah, we have a couple minutes. We'll talk about this initially, and then the rest will be next week. But
I had just thought it was overspending. Yeah. Wasn't that when it was? Was it more than $60,000 in debt?
No, it was. The total was $35,000. And I think that over the years, maybe you have changed the five and the three. I think we've had this discussion and you've said you thought it was 53. And you know what? Maybe it was. And I changed the numbers in my head to 35. But why don't we just, for now, for the sake of argument, we'll call it 50,000. I had racked up $50,000 in debt. Some of it was from gambling. Most of it was just buying stupid crap. Just over years. And the funny part about that whole thing is that in November of 2009, we started budgeting. And that's when that whole thing happened. We went and saw the bishop because this was a problem. And we cut out everything. Like, we trimmed our budget down, and we still do that same budget.
We do, but I was so mad because there was so much money gone and there was nothing to show for it.
Nothing.
So we just had to pay off debt, because I was so mad that there was debt, because I'd never been in debt.
Yeah.
But we did. We paid it off.
Yeah, and I've told people this, I don't think an IRS auditor could have told us where that money came from. I'll never, ever lose my faith and testimony in that part of it, because we had been talking to the bishop, and we were maybe going to have to get food from the bishop's storehouse. We were going to get help because we were in a lot of debt, and we had to put all of our money towards paying it.
So that's the funny thing about your memory and my memory and your fight or flight and my fight or flight.
Yeah.
We were never getting food from the bishop's storehouse.
No, but in my mind, I was
But in
like,
your head, we were like, we're never going to be able to survive on anything. We have to.
Yeah.
And
we paid it off in 13 months.
Yeah. Because it was one of those where it's like, we both make good money. And right. If you have shelter and food, there is not much more you need to right. have. But I think in your mind, you were thinking we have to have this much money a month to even live. And it's like a third of that.
Right. We didn't go out to eat. We didn't go see movies. We didn't. There was no entertainment. There was no extra
frills. We made food at home.
Yep. And we paid it off.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody can do that.
Yeah. But that's when I found out you had a pornography addiction. I didn't know before that.
Yeah. Well, that was the underlying issue. And I found that out through counseling. So that brought up its own issues. I mean, yeah, that's the underlying issue. And I was facing it and I was confronting it. But I didn't put enough changes in my life for long-term success.
See, and I don't know, because I thought you did. But somehow...
Well, then maybe... So I did.
You found a workaround.
Right. So they started to collapse because I found other ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like we found ways so that I couldn't download stuff on my phone. And there, yeah, I found ways around it eventually.
Yep.
The barriers that I had established for myself eventually started to erode. And I think that's one of the big things now with counting the days is that I'm more accountable to it.
It's the same thing with, I mean, that's why you want to set up goals.
Yeah. Because I mean, like this group therapy is going to end and I'll continue to see a therapist, but
it's different.
It'll be different. And I don't know, maybe I won't like him. I just found out they referred me to a guy. I'm going to meet him hopefully next week. Maybe I won't like him. But does that mean am I going to find another one? Or maybe it is going to work. But in 6 months, am I still going to go see him? Like a lot of things could happen. But you and I have to continue to have this conversation. I have to continue to come to you. And we've set new boundaries like... If I'm having a feeling that, you know, I'm struggling and I'm really close to acting out, we've put things in place so that I know what to do in that situation. I call you, and a lot of therapists, I think in cognitive therapy, CGT something. See, I'm not licensed, but they bring up the rubber band thing. And I've still got it on my wrist. And you snap the rubber band, and it's the point is to give you a jolt back to reality and to recenter your thoughts. So there's lots of things that I've put in place, but it's got to be long term.
You've done the rubber band thing before.
Mm-hmm. And eventually it breaks, and then I don't put a new one on, and then... Like, we had two guys that were previous members of the group. They came this last week. One had been clean 790 days. He was still wearing it. Still uses it daily. He had his folder. Still uses that daily. Still uses the dailies daily. Like, success can happen, but I can't stop.
Right.
Otherwise,
you're never addiction free.
No. So, I think I'd like to close just this one by saying there's so many of us out there that are addicted to pornography, and there's so many reasons to not do anything about it. I get that. There are a lot of reasons. But there are, in my opinion, far better reasons to break the cycle and to do something different and live a better life, because you can. So that's what I'm hoping people get from this.
Yeah.
But also, this is very cathartic. I mean, I always feel better talking through my issues, especially this one. So I feel great. Even if Danny's the only one that listens, I'm still happy. Thank you for listening, everybody. Danny. We're grateful. And we'll see you next week.
Yep. Bye.